Blog Talk Radio.
Host Merle Exit. Oh, it's a hot, 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 hot day in New York City. Not that it's not hot where you are. I have a feeling, I don't know, it seems like heat waves are all over the place. But I'm in the house, a little bit of air conditioning, a little fan, and talking about food today. Yes. Not that I don't talk about it otherwise, but in particular, okay, what this all started at is I went to Fairway Market. I know it's my favorite store, but I can't help it. It's just that it had, like, it's got everything, you know. But, and what this started out is Fairway had a sale on lobsters for $6.99 a pound, and I was really curious about, well, you know, is it $6.99 a pound, regardless of the size, or, you know, does it increase? Then I got into talking some other stuff, like fresh produce and cheeses, and I decided, okay, let me have somebody come on the show that could, you know, really talk about all of these things and any questions that I have. And needless to say, I will have to first have my sponsor come on.
Ooh. What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale.
And you can get these wonderful brownies at www.brownies.com. I'm going to, not today though, I'm going to make a dessert using the chocolate chip brownies as my crust and make chocolate pudding and put it in there to make a triple chocolate dessert. Okay, let's get into the food part. I'm getting a sugar rush just from talking about that. So who I have on, though, to chat with me is Hannah. Are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, Hannah, well, introduce yourself to my audience.
Hi, audience. I'm Hannah Howard from Fairway Market, and I am our culinary specialist here. So I work with our food, with our recipes. I write Fairway's blog, and I'm really excited to be here today to talk about food with you guys.
I'm so glad. So let's begin with this whole thing with the lobster. The first question is, yeah, the thing is, when you're buying lobster, most places they do this. It's like, you know, the 1-pounders are so much, and then they get higher priced the larger the lobster. How come Fairway just says, well, it's one price?
Because we are really committed to giving our customers the very best products that we can find at the very best prices. So we don't need to play games with you. We want to give you those big, juicy lobsters full of the good meat. And so that's exactly what we do.
Well, is there a particular reason? I mean, I never understand why one pays more the larger the lobster.
Because the bigger lobsters are more difficult to come across. So they sometimes cost more money because they're valued more. But we want to give our customers the best deal that we can, and we just charge by the pound, and that's that. And also, we only carry hard shell lobsters, whereas many of our competitions sell lobsters with softer shells. And since the shells are part of the cost, our customers get more meat and less shell for their money.
So are you saying, in other words, that you're better off buying, there's more meat in a hard shell lobster than a soft shell?
Exactly.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize it. I did get one that was like over 3 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
I should have videotaped what I had to go through to crack open the claw.
How did it come out?
I mean, I'm I had to use a hammer, a regular hammer. I'm a banging.
You gotta do what you gotta do. That's part of the fun.
That's the challenge. It is. But the thing, what you kind of have to decide on, I think it's kind of looking at the lobster tail seems to be like the biggie. So of course, the larger the lobster, the bigger the tail is.
Exactly.
But then I had, well, let me get into some stuff like, is there a difference if you, now that we've got that there's a difference between, in terms of the hard or the soft shell, is there a difference whether you get a male or a female?
I actually do not know the answer to that.
I mean, other than the roe.
You know what? I'm not sure whether the lobsters we sell are males or females. That should be something that I know, that definitely our fishmongers can answer that, but I can't answer that.
Oh, so have you ever made a recipe, like a lobster bisque or anything like that?
Definitely. I actually served my dad for Father's Day, just really simple poached lobster, and I poached it in some butter, and it was luxurious and tender and sweet and over the top delicious.
In other words, let me ask you, have you ever steamed it in beer?
I haven't, but you know what? I was looking at your website and I saw that you recommended that, and I really want to try that. That sounds great.
What I recommend, I had asked a number of people, does it make a difference, which beer they use, cheap beer or not? And they just keep saying preference. Personally, I wouldn't. Well, here's what I do. I pick a beer that, since I'm not going to probably use the entire bottle, I buy one that I like, so then I just use enough beer to steam it. And then
exactly, so you can enjoy it. I have the same philosophy when you cook with wine. We even have a sign by our cooking wine that says, serious cooks don't use this because they don't. You open up something great that you want to enjoy and a bottle of something you love, and then some of it goes into your sauce or whatnot, and some of it goes into your glass, and that's how it should be.
Right. Where are you guys, getting the lobsters from? Curious.
Our lobsters are from Maine and from Canada.
Okay, as opposed to lobsters are us,
We are really committed to getting really fresh seafood and as local as possible, but for lobsters that entails Maine, which is not so local, but that's where they are. But they're definitely from good people and people we trust and know very well.
Now, the particular day that I went there, in terms of size, they seem to be like starting from a pound and three quarters to about close to 4 pounds. Is that That's the
range, and then based on what's available, we always prefer the big juicy lobsters since those are the most appealing. So we'll get them, and we want to give our customers the best and the biggest that we come across.
Oh, okay. That's a great idea. By the way, are you a lobster lover?
I am a lobster lover, for sure. I have great memories of going as a child to my cousin's beach house in Rhode Island. And for me, I was probably more excited about the lobster than the beach or seeing my family just to eat the lobster. That was the attraction. So I love lobster.
Do you pick at the body?
Yeah, I love the whole ritual of getting in there and picking it apart and digging it and, you know, scraping up the inside. Very down and dirty.
Yeah, it's almost like the quest to find the meat. If it's in there, you want it.
Exactly, and it's fun with food.
Yeah, it is. There's a lot to do with the lobsters. What I was doing, too, is I bought a couple of them and pre-cooked them and then put them in, froze different things. So, for instance, I have now, let's say I have one plastic bag that has a couple of pieces of lobster in the shell, a couple of shells, and I also froze some roe and what's the green stuff? The tamale.
Wonderful.
That's how I'm going to make a lobster bisque.
Delicious.
Yeah, so...
It's also easy to make lobster bisque.
Yeah, but one of the things that people should do is to keep the shells and then use it to make seafood. Soup,
exactly. Enormously flavor any stock or exactly you are on the right track. If you are wanting to enjoy lobster without cooking lobster, we're just opening our Red Hook patio. So in Brooklyn, you can head out and enjoy our famous lobster rolls with a view of the Statue of Liberty and everything, or make your own lobster rolls. But lobster rolls are a great summer favorite.
I just heard something about with the place at Red Hook. They're having a grill, a barbecue grill?
Yeah, sort of like a stand. Not a restaurant because there's not table service, but it's going to be barbecue food, our barbecue chicken and burgers and corn on the cob and organic homemade ice cream sandwiches and fresh squeezed lemonade and lobster rolls, of course. And you'll just go up and order and enjoy your food on the patio outside overlooking the water. And what a beautiful view. And it's a little oasis in the city. It's a pretty cool place.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't know if it could get cool enough when it's 100 degrees, though. I don't think.
Yeah, maybe not today.
Yeah.
It's pretty brutal out today.
Yeah, I still wouldn't venture today on being outside, no matter where, unless maybe if I go to Alaska, you know.
But, as long as we're in this area, inside is the way to go.
Do you think, by the way, you think Fairway will ever deliver? I mean, other than, I know that they, you can get things like, you know, if you buy olive oil or things like that, but, you know, like they do with Peapod. You think Fairway will ever do that?
Maybe. I've heard it. It's funny, you know, most of my friends love Fairway, so they get really excited when I tell them that I work here, and that's an idea. They all say, why can't we do that? So who knows? Right now we're really committed to doing our grocery business, and we definitely do deliver in the city stores. We do a big delivery business where people come and shop, and then we take your groceries in a van or in a truck right to your door. So that's something we're doing, and who knows? I think we're definitely talking about how that might expand and grow, and we can do more with that.
Is there another Fairway that's opening up in Westbury, next month or something?
Very soon, the end of August. So that will be Fairway number 11.
All right.
And then
go
fairway number 12 is coming sometime in the fall to Kips Bay on 30th Street. So that's the next excitement.
That's really cool. That's great. Maybe Accessoride will take me there. I won't even go into this whole thing with Accessoride and what they expect me to do to get to Fairway. But anyway, to get back to food. Okay, so let's go into the second topic that I want to talk about. I hear you're a connoisseur in cheese. Is that what I hear?
I am. I worked before Fairway. I was a cheese person. I did cheese in restaurants, and I worked at various cheese places. So cheese is one of my loves, and I also write about cheese. And when I first came to Fairway, I started out in the Fairway cheese counter. So I've had a lot of cheese time, and cheese is really my passion. And it's so cool for me to be working at Fairway because cheese is something that we really excel at.
Yeah. Have you tasted all of them?
Almost. I know that's a lot, but that was one of my favorite parts of working at the cheese counter is every time we cut a different cheese, I got to dig in and try it. And that was so fun because we just have so many wonderful things, and it's like a candy shop for me.
So in other words, you're saying if you're going to the cheese counter, somebody's going to cut the cheese?
Of course, yeah. I mean, we have behind the counter a staff of these great cheese counter men and women who are really knowledgeable about what they do, and they'll always cut you a taste of something if you're trying to decide or trying to find the perfect cheese to impress someone or impress yourself even better. So, yeah, that's how we do it. And then we do have cheeses up in the shelves, especially the cheeses that we sell a lot of, kind of the everyday cheeses that we go through faster. But even those are cut behind the counter every day. So everything is really fresh.
Well, let me, one of the things that I'm kind of curious about, I've tasted a lot of cheese. I mean, if you think about it, what it really boils down to is reconstituted milk, you know. That you could chew.
Yeah, right,
yeah,
exactly.
But and somehow between of how it's aged or whatever, it adds, there's a flavor added. So, but here's my question is that because I, like, you know, going there and I see the cheeses and it goes this and this one, and they're all, you know, like a quarter of a pound of this and, all a quarter of a pound, and it could, you know, I mean, it could get expensive if you... The thing I'm curious about, so if I wanted to get a cheese, like, what would be, like, the least expensive cheese that's not a cheese product to buy? And I'm not talking about, like, a cheddar cheese.
I think of our cheeses in two categories. We have all of the factory industrial cheeses. So those are cheaper, and that's your cheeses that come in big blocks to us, the Swiss cheese. I mean, not necessarily processed, but just made in bigger quantities, made in bigger facilities, a lot of cheddar cheese, Havarti, that kind of thing. And then we have the artisanally produced cheeses, some of which are now more than ever, which are coming from this country, but many of which come from France and Italy and Spain, and some from Greece and from Holland. And those are pretty much always more expensive than the former category because they're made with really good milk and often in traditional manners, and often a lot of the process is done by hand. And to make really good quality cheese is just an expensive endeavor. So there's really no way around it. But within that range, you can find cheeses anywhere from $10 a pound to $40 a pound, and that's a big range, probably even more extreme than that. So it doesn't mean that you have to shell out your whole paycheck on cheese to find some good cheese.
Well, I mean, is there one that you can kind of recommend? I'm coming in there and I say, I want an artisanal cheese. Oh, by the way, Is it more expensive if it's imported rather than cheese that's coming from United States?
That's actually counterintuitive. Often the imported cheeses are more expensive than the American artisanal cheeses, and that's because a lot of the cheesemakers in France and Italy and such, first of all, have a really long tradition. So they're really set up. They've been doing it for centuries, whereas our great cheesemakers have really only come along in the last few decades. So they've got the experience, the history behind them, and they also have governments that support them to do this. And so they get these big tax breaks and kind of a leg up from their government because their culture really values what they're doing as an important endeavor. So oftentimes the imported cheese will be a better bang from your buck than the American cheese.
Okay, so less than, like, name me a cheese that I could have, as I say. I want, if I come and I say, you know, I want the least expensive cheese, artisanal cheese.
That you can get a great, that you can not
that I'm,
break
that I'm
your...
taking home and give me two of them. One that I'm going to use, like, for cooking, you know what I mean, you know, in a recipe. And one that I'm just going to, you know, slice up the, because I have... guests coming over.
Cool. Well, yeah, I mean, you can definitely put together a wonderful cheese plate without spending all of your savings. I love the Châtelaine Camembert. That is, it's a pretty large wheel for $7 we sell it for. So that's a good buy. And it's also really delicious, nuanced cheese. You taste flavors of truffles and eggs and nuts, and it's just lush and fabulous. So that's a great, impressive, affordable cheese. For cooking, I would use one of our pecorinos, which are Italian, because a pecorino is a general term for Italian sheep's milk cheese, and they're often really affordable and really flavorful and a great thing to shave in a salad, shave over pasta, shave over scrambled eggs. Lots of flavor and personality.
But the pecorino is an imported one, right?
From Italy, yes. And there's from different regions of Italy. So I like the pecorino Toscano from Tuscany, but there's a big variety. And we have different cheeses, different pecorinos at different times.
Tell me about some of them that are, you know, are there any artisanal coming from the United States, and, like, what kind of cheeses can I expect in terms of that?
Yeah, we are really proud of some of the cheese makers from the U.S. that we've been working with for a long time. Let me think for a minute. We have a really great relationship with Laura Chanel Cheese. Chanel Cheese is in Sonoma County in California, and they make goat cheeses that are really fabulous. And we actually have an exclusive on their newest cheese, which is called Melody, which is almost like a brie, but it's made from goat's milk, and it's really tangy and lovely. So Laura Chanel is a great American cheese maker. We have Grafton Cheddars from Vermont that we're really proud of. We sell, let me think, American cheese that I love. Those are my two favorite, and I can, let me think of some more. We also have Coach Farm cheese from upstate New York, and we were one of the first markets to start carrying Coach Farm, which now you'll see around a lot, but that's just a really simple, wonderful goat cheese from Gallantville, New York. We have Shelbert Farm cheddar from Vermont, which is wonderful, and we're always looking for more to support our local cheese people.
Yeah, because that's one of the things, you know, like, I mean, I've gone to some places, especially like in Vermont, and then they have, you know, you can go to the farms and things like that, but it's not necessarily, you know, you could maybe a local restaurant might have it, but it's not, you know, going out there, you know, on a larger scale.
Right.
Are there any? By the way, I don't do they make any cheeses out on Long Island? Or there was only, I just thought of that.
None that we know about, or none that I know about.
Okay. I just didn't think, because Long Island, I know, is, well, not the place, but it's certainly a place for produce, which is...
And for wine. They're starting to make some Long Island
wine.
And
the wine.
So,
oh,
yeah.
Forget about it with the wine. you could take this one, you could take one route and hit 15 wineries. On one route.
That's right.
Which now gets me to asking about in terms of produce. Now, when you say, like, you get local produce, what is considered local?
Local is local. So I would say tri-state area, upstate New York. We work with a lot of New Jersey farms. We work with some Long Island farms, so that's local.
So what, to give me an idea, like what, right now, what produce is coming local?
We have some wonderful stone fruits, really drippy, sweet peaches, some of those. See, we get them in local when we can, and when not, then we get them from California or when we can, but we always first will go to the local. We have great beefsteak tomatoes from New Jersey that are sweet and awesome. We have berry season just ended, so I think we just sold our last crop of local New Jersey berries, strawberries, blueberries. I think those are the end. Also corn, which is just beginning to be New Jersey corn, which is fabulous.
So now's the time to get the corn?
And, yes, and one more I forgot, we have these great fresh lettuces from New Jersey, Boston red leaf lettuce, butter lettuce, and you will really notice the difference in flavor in the summer lettuce. It just tastes so fresh and wonderful, just so much more personality than wintertime lettuce or the lettuce that we have to get a few months from now, because it won't be local lettuce season anymore. So we'll have to bring it in from Florida and from California. But right now it's from right here, and you can really taste that.
Now, let me ask you about, I mean, because there are that many like farms out in Long Island. Because one of the things I do notice about Long Island, it's like with the wines, it's not really pushed. I wonder how much even that the produce is pushed. Do you find it, like, for instance, like not the quality, but in terms of price wise, are you getting a better buy because you're going to, let's say, dealing with a farm in New Jersey than dealing with farms out on Long Island?
Well, yeah, I mean, we're always really attuned to getting the very best price that we can, so we can pass along that great price to our customers. So we'll look, you know, we'll talk to people, we'll see what they can do for us, and we have really close relationships with our farmers and our vendors, so they know that it's worth giving us a good price because we are great to work with, we respect them, we have great customers, and it all works out. So it's a process, and our merchants work really hard to try to find the best price and negotiate that and find the right people and nurture those relationships.
Well, let me also ask you about, like, there are times that there's certain produce that's, like, in right now in California, like at certain times that you can get the, is that where you get, I don't know, is that where you get avocados from mostly?
Yes, I do believe so. So, I'm sorry. Go ahead. What was your question?
My question is, in other words, like, because avocados are big, getting them from California, is this the season right now where the avocados are, are coming out or growing, have blossomed or whatever? All right.
I'd say right now the best get them right now while they're awesome items are the cherries are amazing. They're a good price. Melons are in season and wonderful. Lots of herbs and greens. Cucumbers of all things. Corn, definitely. Still some berries. What else? Those are the big, eat them right now in their peak summer fruits and veggies.
Okay. Well, I guess what I'm asking is are avocados like, is this the season for avocados?
This is a great time for avocados. I mean, they don't grow here. They grow
right.
in warmer climates. So they're not, if you're looking to shop local, no. However, yes, they're fabulous right now. In many of our stores, we have them on sale. So that's a good reason, too. And they're really ripe and they're fabulous. And they're just also such a good summer treat. I love avocados in my sandwich, in my salad with corn. They're just delicious. So, yes, I would say now is a great time for avocados.
And how about artichokes? Is artichokes in season? I know, like, again, it's like I keep thinking, you know, artichokes come out of California. But it's like you got to hit them when the season is there. Is this a season or a different season for artichokes?
The artichoke season is, we do have artichokes right now. Are they at their peak? I am not positive about that. Let me find out for you. Let me look at our produce information. Artichoke season is
I know when I was out in
artichoke
California.
Artichoke is going to be more in fall. So that's
okay.
Coming up. Fall
oh,
and
okay.
spring. So this isn't this is not peak artichoke moment.
Okay, so in other words, way, way, way after the heat wave.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
So is there anything, any other special things going on at Fairway that we should know about?
There's always special things going on at Fairway. It's kind of funny because it's hard. It's my job to tell the world about them, and even so it gets overwhelming because there's so much. But I would say our big news is that we're opening up this restaurant in Red Hook. It's really exciting. We have also, in addition to the lobsters, it's a great time for local summer seafood. So clams, mussels, fluke, flounder, lots of fish is really wonderful right now. We're also working on meals all ready to go, different, we're calling it food integration, so we'll have different levels of preparedness, if you will. For example, like a marinated Korean chicken thighs. We'll have them all cooked up and ready for you in our hot bar, and we'll also have for you recipe cards and all the ingredients laid out, or we'll have the middle root, which is the pre-marinated thighs that you just have to throw on your grill or throw in your oven. So we're really trying to be accessible for every mood and every kind of evening or day or schedule. And you can just find great food no matter what you want to do, if you want to cook or you just want instant gratification.
That's great. And by the way, one of my ideas is, because with the corn, is to I have a stovetop smoker.
Oh, cool.
If you start watching all the cooking shows, everybody's getting one of these. It's actually made of stainless steel. And what I did take an ear of corn, smoke the corn, and use the corn for your lobster chowder or lobster bisque. So you have the smoked flavor just from the corn.
That's great. I've been loving, my mom does this, and she passed it on to me, to throw the corn in the microwave for a little while just to get it started, and then to toss it on the grill so it gets that great charred flavor, and I love that.
Oh, yeah. I'll try that, too. So, all right. Well, thank you so much, Hannah, for calling in and giving us some ideas. The next time I get over to Fairway, I'm going to, you know, pick out a couple of these cheeses and, of course, shop my produce.
Wonderful. And say hi to me.
Yes, and I'll say hi to you, depending on which Fairway I get to, huh?
That's right. Well, that's true. I try to make my way around to the mall, but I'm usually in our Harlem. Our offices are in our Harlem store, so I'm there usually. But I try to also spend some time at all of our stores because we like to say that they're like cousins, not like siblings. They all have their own personality and their own thing.
Oh, good. All right. Maybe I'll get to each one of them. So far, I've only been to the one in Douglaston.
That's a great one.
Yep. All right, thanks again.
Thanks, Merle. I really appreciate it.
And thanks for all the info from us. And I guess if you go to fairwaymarket.com and you can...
go to fairwaymarket.com and you can see lots of recipes and videos and what's in season and also our blog On Our Plate that I write that will tell the little stories of our favorite products and Fairway news and all that good stuff.
Great. Okay. Well, have a great day. And again,
you
I appreciate
too.
You being on.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye. Oh, yes. Well, that got me hungry. That's for sure. Yes. Well, okay. Well, yes, because it got me hungry, I'm going to end my show now and go eat something. I think, I don't know, it looks very, very, very dark out suddenly. And just let me pass this on. I know it's archived, but tonight, 6 o'clock news, and I'm sure you could, you know, see this on the internet at some other point. 6 o'clock news on CBS. There's going to be something on Eugene Lang, who should have gotten the Purple Heart when he was in Vietnam. He is now 65 years old, and perhaps he might get it. So you could see him and his wife, Enid, and I think their daughter, Erica, will also be on, too. So have a nice evening, day, or whatever, everybody. Now I just have to find my ending. Here we are. And I'll see you all.